So what we're going to talk about today, and it's something that God has been speaking to me about, I believe, and it's been something that's on my heart, and it just keeps on coming back, you know? I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You hear the same thing over and over and over again. Okay, so the title of the sermon this morning is, Do We Know the God We Serve? Since I came to Durban, I just realized that started asking myself the question, do I know God? And I know for us, I knew God since I was a little girl. I love telling the story. My mom asked me, you know, what do you want for your birthday? I was 8 years old. And I said, wow, I would love lightning and thunder, you know, for my birthday in Wellington, in the Boerland, you know, the Western Cape. We don't really have that kind of thing there. So I was like, I want that. Because my grandma stays in the Free State, and when we went there, there's thunder and lightning. Okay? So my mom said, what do you want? I said, I want that. She said, I can't give you that. You'll have to ask God to give you that. So on my birthday that year, the 30th of April, in Wellington, there was thunder and lightning. You know? So from a little girl, I knew God is real. You know? I knew He gives. And still this year, I found myself in like, do I know God? You know, spend many time with God. But do I know God? And I don't know if you've ever stopped and think about that. So today, I can't give you all the answers. But we can start to unpack it. We can start to say, Lord, come and start working in our hearts a bit. And I start something new, afresh in our hearts. So I moved to Durban. I moved in with the pastors. They're amazing. With their three kids. And I died to myself because, you know, a single lady and now you have to look after three kids. You're like, oh, mothers are amazing, yeah, you know. Yeah. And for you to have some quiet time, you have to go walk outside. So every morning I had to go for a walk. So that was my good exercise and prayer time. And as I'm walking this morning, I'm praying for specific people. And as I'm praying, God shows me this picture, I believe, of a path that points to Jesus. So these people are walking and they're on their way to Jesus. But something happened. And this path, there's just a little bit going to the left. It's still pointing to Jesus, but it's not on the path to Jesus anymore. It's just a little bit off. And as I'm walking, you know, I'm praying for this and I'm thinking, oh Lord, what do I pray? What does this mean? You know, these people are still in the direction of Jesus. And by the way, the people that I'm praying for, it's not people that you know, so don't think, is it that one, you know? It's not. But it's people that knows God, according to me, you know? That it's following God, that is, and God is saying to me, they've gone a little bit to the left. And I'm walking, and I start to cry. Now, you don't cry in the streets of Durban. But anyways, I'm starting to cry, but I know it's not me. Like, I don't know what's happening to me, but I'm crying. And I think God is just showing me in that moment that He is not desperate. God's never desperate, but He wants these people to come back on the path to Him. Like, this is not nice for these people not to be on the path that walks to Jesus. You know, so I realize we can still be at a place where we're going in the direction, like we think, Jesus, but we're actually not on the path that's going to reach Jesus. Don't know if that makes sense. Anyway, so it was quite an intense morning for me. And I thought, okay, God, I prayed for them. Oh, by the way, and then I said, okay, I'm going to fight for them. You know, how we go into fighting mode. I'm going to fight. I'm going to say to the enemy, get out of that, people. You know, let them come on the right path. And the Lord just quietly said to me, don't fight. It's not a fighting thing. It's a heart thing. So what I want you to pray is, pray over them, realign your hearts with Jesus. And I think that's probably the core of this morning is, realign your hearts with Jesus. So a few mornings later, there's no one in the house, I can spend some time in my room, and I pray for them, these people again, but I ignore that piece, because it was too hectic for me, you know, I was crying, I was like, it was sore almost praying for them. And I just think, Lord, I'm just going to pray for them in general. you know, bless them, make them have a good day, those kind of prayers. I don't want to go into the deep stuff. But as I'm thinking and praying those things, all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, the scripture falls like in my mind. And I can hear it almost. It's like the Holy Spirit comes and he gives me the scripture to pray over this people. And it was the following scripture, Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now you can imagine me sitting there. Again, I'm praying for these people that is following God, that is leading others to Christ and stuff like that. And God gives me the scripture. And I'm like, whoa, Lord, what does this mean? And again, I start crying, sobbing for these people. But also that day, I had to ask myself the question, where am I? Where am I? If I thought those people are on the perfect path, you know, where am I? Where's my heart? And what does it mean to know God? You know, because when we read the scripture, we say, yeah, but we must do the will of the Lord. Isn't that what he says? Many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. But then he said, but only those who did the will of my Lord. And we get stuck there. So we get into works and we do many things. And we're like, what's your will, Lord? I just want to do your will and go where you want me to send. But I don't think that's what he's pointing to. Because just the next scripture or the verse, he says, many will say, I've cast out demons in your name. So he says, that's not it. That's not my will. To do the works. What is he looking for? I never knew you. And we're going to look today a bit about what does that mean? Or just the little understanding that I have about what does it mean to know God? So I got over that a bit. But God started speaking to me. We went for outreaches on campus. I will speak to people and they'll be like, no, I serve God. And I could share the scripture. And I'm like, I'm going through this. How are you feeling about this? You know, what do you feel? And people were convicted by God and people started coming to God. And a few weeks later, another girl sits in front of me and she says to me, Marichan, I want to share a dream with you. And I'm like, okay, I like dreams. God speaks to us through dreams many times. And she said, I had this dream and I was dead already, so I know I was under the ground. I think that's where we go, under the ground. And she says, as I'm there, I know it's the day of the Lord's returning. So she knows Jesus is coming back. And what's happening is that Jesus is raising people from the dead and at the same time judging them. You know? Because at the last day, God says, you will judge his people. Even here, you can see we're meeting with Jesus. This is Jesus speaking, by the way, the Sermon on the Mount. If you want to read something and learn about Jesus, go read Matthew 5 to 7. It's a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaks to us and teaches us how we should be as Christians. But anyways, here you can see we're going to meet with the Lord, Jesus, like almost face to face. And what she said to me is like everyone was meeting with Jesus at the same time, but she had a personal encounter with Jesus. I'm like, whoa, this is so real that I'm, whoa, did you read this in the Bible? No, I had it in a dream. So she said to me, she meets with Jesus, but she's excited because it's Jesus that came back. And she stands in front of Jesus and she's like ready to hear what he wants to say to her and that she's going with him. And he says to her, no, you're not going with me. And she says, and she's like shocked. She cannot believe what she's hearing. And she says to the Lord, but why? And he quotes the scripture to her. And you know, that girl is sitting in front of me and I sit there. Like now, I sit there and I want to start crying. You know, I'm like, oh no. Really? God quote that scripture to you? Like the one that God has been speaking to me about. And that I'm like, do I know God? And now you say that is what Jesus said to you, no, in your dream? And she said, yeah, this is the scripture. She said, she started sobbing. in a dream. She woke up sobbing, and she had to ask herself the real questions. Do I know God? And as she's sitting in front of me, she said to me, "But Marichan, you know what? I really thought I loved God. You know, I really thought that I loved him." And then we started chatting, and I realized, just like I was a little bit back, I came to a point where I said to the Lord, "Father, I actually don't know if I love you." You know, we always say it. "Oh, I love the Lord. Yo, I love the Lord." But it feels to me that it stays here. And it never really goes there. So I came to a place a few, maybe months, years, yeah, it's not that long ago, that I came to a place and I was like, "Lord, do I love you? Or do I just say it? You know, what's happening here in my heart when I say that?" And I realized, you know, we do that many times. I don't know why I'm using Michael Schumacher as an example. Who knows Michael Schumacher? He's that F1 dude that could drive very fast. Anyways, but if we said, "Wow, I love Michael Schumacher. I love him." You know, we easily say stuff like that. "I love that man. He's amazing. Did you see the things that he did? Did you read about what he did? He actually changed my life, because you know what? My driving is 10 times better now. I learned his tricks. I read his book. I'm applying the things that he says I must do. I love him." Don't we do that, like with God also? "I love him." But then you go and you say, "Do you know Michael Schumacher?" "Oh no, I don't know him." But how do you love him if you don't know him? So I had to ask that real question to myself. Who do I love if I say I love God? Do I love God for who he really is? Or do I love this picture of God I have in my mind? Because do I actually really know him? Are you guys listening? You're very quiet. But you look beautiful this morning, I must say. A lot of beautiful faces looking back at me. Great. Must see where I am in my notes. Then I went to David. I like David. I can't say I love him anymore because I don't know him. But I do love him. Okay. So the next scripture, Psalm 27:4. "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What a beautiful scripture. David was like this poet, this, you know, he just knew how to say things. And I loved the scripture for years. I loved the scripture until I asked myself, "Do you feel like this, Marichan?" You know, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that is that I may dwell in his house, in his courts." What does that mean? Where he is, that I may be with him. And it goes on, "to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord." Now, the word beauty there, you can also translate as the glory. So for those of you that struggle with Jesus is beautiful, I know some of us are like, "How do you imagine that?" You know, even yesterday at the wedding, we sang that song of, you know, "We see your beauty," and then we say, "You're beautiful." And I sometimes wonder, what are people thinking when we're singing that? But it's the glory of God. The glory, this magnificence of God. That is beautiful. So David is saying, "I just want to gaze upon your glory, Lord. Your beauty, your majesty that's above everything." So I got to that place. I say, "Whoa. I think David knew God." Would you agree? If you're writing something like that, you must really love that person. "One thing I want, Lord, is to be with you and to look at your beauty." Would you say, if you're in love with someone, you're like, "Mm-hmm, don't, yeah." You know, you just want to be with that person. You just want to stare at that person type of thing. You know, there's something there. And then the old people, you know, that really learn how to love. They love just to sit with each other. Have you ever thought about that? They don't speak for hours. My mom and my dad, they can just each be busy with their own thing, but they just love, they want to be together. Anyway, it's getting sidetracked. So I was asking myself, how did David get to that point of talking about the Lord like that? In the same chapter or whatever that we call it, I sort of got the answer. Psalm 27 verse 8, where it says, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Incredible, isn't it? Just put that down there. So David says, "Lord, you said I must seek your face. So I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to get to know you." To translate it in a bit of different terms or whatever. So I think David really knew God. And therefore he could say, "Lord, I love you. I love you." Now, for us to know, what does that know mean? Because if you think about that, we can actually not know God. True. No, we cannot know God. He is too big. God is, even I study now theology. Ha ha ha, lekker. And, you know, theology is the study of God, but we can't study God. We can just study the revelation of God that we find in the Bible and we find in history and those kind of things. So we can't actually know God. We can't ever say that. I mean, we're like small, little people. But we can come to a place where we are known by God. And that to me is the same thing. In other words, I come and I spend time with God. And I get known by God. And by that, I can say I know him. Not that it means like I know everything about him, but I'm known by God. Do you understand that? Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Amen. I like it. Someone's saying something. And we find this in Galatians 4 verse 9, where it says, "But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God." So he's saying, you know what? You can't know God. We must actually say we are known by God. So it actually means the same thing. We can't. It's just the way we speak. We can't be arrogant and say, "I know God." No, you are known by God. Great. So how do we get to know God or to be known by him? It's simple. We spend time with him. Okay, and guys, this is sika. Why am I saying sika? That's Afrikaans word for those of you that don't know. That is probably the number one thing for our Christian life. And we don't do it. We have to spend time with our Father. Otherwise, we won't know him. God is calling us to come and spend time with him. To come and to know him. Now, I know, you know, whenever someone talks about it, it's like, ugh, really? It's difficult. And it is difficult. I'm not going to fight with you. That's not my point yet, so just pause that. I'll get to that one. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 12, just to show you what I mean. The parable of the 10 virgins. Okay. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' And what did he say? But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" Now, what I like about this parable is about that oil. The oil is important, do you agree? Because the ones that didn't have the oil, they couldn't get in. But the ones that did have the oil got in. What is the oil? The oil in the Bible many times represents the Holy Spirit. In this case, I believe, and many theologians believe, that this case, it's the Holy Spirit's presence in us, in our hearts. And guys, we as charismatic believers sometimes think we can just get filled with the Holy Spirit and then we're fine, then we can go. We must be continually filled. And that is the oil. You see, there was those five foolish. Did they believe that Jesus was coming back? Yes, they did. They were believers. They're believers. Did they have the oil in their lamps? No. The wise did. And why did they say, we cannot give you the oil? I was always like, no man, that's rude. You're a Christian. Give that oil. You know? But they couldn't, because it's not something you can give to someone. By spending time with God, it's not something you can give to someone. You have to get it yourself. You have to go sit at the feet of Jesus. You have to go sit and spend time with the Lord. And I believe, these times that we're in, Jesus is coming back. And you know, at a time he was highlighting that Jesus says, but at this moment, and for the last year, I feel like he's highlighting, come to me. You know, I had a dream last year on my birthday. And the dream was a wild dream and stuff. But in the moment, I was under the stars. And as I looked up, the stars started moving. And what the stars spelled was, more time with you. And then a lot of other stuff happened. What I didn't realize at that moment was God was saying, slow down. You're going too fast. You're doing all this stuff for me, but you're not with me. You're not getting filled with me. You're getting filled with other stuff, but you're like that foolish ones. You're not filling. You're not being filled. Slow down. And there was friends with me in the dream, and them and I moved in the last year. God literally shifted us to say, I want time with you. Stop. This ministry stuff, this, that, whatever's important in our lives, it's not as important as sitting with the Lord. I want you to get that today. Now, guys, it takes effort to do that. It is not something that comes automatically. It is not something that just happens. Now I've got the anointing to spend time with God forever. It doesn't. It takes effort. It's a place where I have to go and say, like David said, Lord, your face, you said, seek my face. Your face I will seek. Not, okay, Lord, you said, seek my face, then come as we pray. Come fall over me. Come wash over me. The songs that we sing that only when we're in a place of knowing God. Not when we're in a place where we just want things from God. It's beautiful songs, and I really do love those songs because it speaks of intimacy with the Father, someone that knows God, not someone that just sings it because it feels like it must be a lovely feeling that comes over us. Okay, it takes effort. Make a schedule or put it in your schedule. It's not religious. Do you put a place in your diary when you want to meet with someone? Now I'll just see how it goes. No. You make an appointment. You set aside time in your day or in your week or your Saturday afternoon or whatever to spend time with the Lord. You know, and when you get there, you're going to be like, no, what must I do now? You don't have to pray for an hour. You don't have to intercede for Canada or Italy or whatever's going on. You don't have to do those things. You take the word of God and you read two verses and you say, Lord, I don't understand it. Most precious place you can be. Where you just honest, say, Lord, you know what? I want to start to know you. I'm here. And as you go on and as you go on, sometimes it will be really boring. Don't be like, oh, I'm not doing this again. Just say, Lord, I'm coming again. Have you heard that story in the Bible? I don't have it on here. But the woman that comes and Jesus, she says, come and heal. I think she said, come and heal or deliver. Can't remember. Sorry. But then she says, Lord says to her, no, I didn't come to give you food. And then she says, but Lord, I'll even take the crumbs. The dogs even takes the crumbs. And God spoke to me through that. He said to me, how much do you want me? And this is where I love my flatmate. I said to her, what I'm preaching about this Sunday. And she says, no, we just know God as much as we want to know him. I'm like, whoa, why didn't you preach this Sunday? That's exactly what it is. We know God as much as we want to know him. How much are we willing to step in? Guys, who of you can put your phone off if you spend time with God? Thank you, Michelle. Put your phone off. It's difficult, no? It just shows of a place of making effort for God. That phone is not important. That message can wait. Whatever's going to happen, it's not the end of the world. Trust me, the end of the world is coming. Okay? Switch that phone off. Make effort to come and to sit with God. In the beginning, it's tough. Some days, you know, it's really not easy. Other days, you're amazed and you cry your eyes out. Don't measure it. Don't be like, today I didn't cry, so I didn't meet with God. No, it doesn't work like that. God is just looking for us to come and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. Okay. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. In other words, it's not something that you get once and there you go. And now you go and you sort it. And what I've realized is it's a place of humility. Coming to the Lord. Because what you realize is that you cannot do this life without God. You cannot drive your car without fuel. Who can do that? Oh, you'll be a millionaire, I think. Who can drive your car without fuel? You know, and we do that in our Christian life. We go and we fill it up a bit and then we go. And then it's empty and then we don't go to fill it up again. We start pushing this car and it gets heavy. And we burn out, and we're tired. And being a Christian is really hard. But we don't go to fill up the car. We don't get that oil in our lamps. We try and work it out. And you know, I can say it because I've been there. You get really tired. You know, and you have to do all the stuff that you've done, so you run on that empty tank. It's not working anymore like it was working then, but now I think it must still be working without me being at that place. Only when I go to God, it's not to know him, but to get things of him. And a picture that I saw was this of people standing with old rags on. Do you know what an old rag is? It almost looked like a bag over you. It's brown, it's ugly. I don't think any of you want to be in a brown, ugly rag. And what was written on this rag was, I can. I can. You know, and I almost want to say, you cannot. You cannot. I cannot. I cannot do this on my own. My lamp. And by the way, if you look at that story, the foolish people took their lamps first. The lamp was important to them. They didn't even think about the oil. The wise virgins took their oil first. Go read it. The oil was more important. Because the oil is important. We cannot run on an empty tank. We have to be filled. And we have to remove the I can rags. You know, guys, and you must take it off. Don't try. I think in our walk, everything in this world said to us, you can be better. You know, those kind of things. But the Lord is saying, you cannot. The weak, he will make strong. Are you hungry for the Lord today? Do you want to come to a place, then take off those rags that say, I can do this? Because we cannot do it. We cannot. And we're not made to. We're not made to be the superhumans. We're made to go sit with the Lord. What happens if we sit with the Lord? We get to know Him. He definitely speaks to us and all of those things. But there happens, something incredible happened there where we filled. And why do we need to be full? Yes, when Jesus returned, very important that He can say, I know you. But what is the greatest commandment that God gave us? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength. There's nothing greater than that. Now, as I said, I cannot love someone if I don't know them. So for me to love the Lord like that, I have to spend time with them, with Him. Now, we always think, because our brains work like that in this world, that I cannot go to God if I don't love Him. It's just some other lie that came from somewhere. No, that's not true. We go to God, we get to know Him. We love him, of course, and we can say, Lord, I love you. Test it, you know, when you say it. Sometimes I feel, oh, my heart's not there. And I'll be like, Lord, my heart's not there. But I want to be there. You know, it doesn't mean you walk out here today and you're like, I must not just work at this. No. It will take time. You work at it. And then one day you're like, oh, wow, Lord, I'm crying because I love you so much. I'm sitting here and I don't want to leave because I love you so much. But what I want to get at is that when we walk out of that place where we sat with God, we're filled. So that when I go out, I don't have to be like, love the Lord with all your heart, love the Lord with all your heart. It comes. Because I know Him. So when I step out in the world where things are crazy, and it's going to get crazier. Things are going to get crazier. Then I must not think of what must I do as a Christian or worry, or it must come naturally out of a place of loving God first. And what's the second one that's equal to that one? To love my neighbor as myself. That is probably one of the most difficult things I've found. For long, I've tried. Because the word says I must love other people, so I've tried. I'm like, deny yourself, because that's the other thing that Jesus says. Deny yourself, love people. I try, you know. I want to be obedient to God's word, so I try it. Guys, when I started sitting with the Lord, it came naturally. What? It came that I started loving people that I don't even know. And it didn't happen like I was thinking about it or whatever. I just one day realized, wow, I love that girl. You know, she's like, doesn't believe. She's in someplace else. And sitting in my car and telling me that, you know, no, there's no God, or, you know, stuff like that. And my first reaction before I sat with God that time when I was trying to push my own car, my first reaction would be, but can I tell you who He is? No, because my heart is there. I want to tell you, and I want you to get saved. So let me quickly tell you who He is. And God says, I'm sure she's going to get that now. She's not at a place where she must hear that now. You know? But then I love her for the weekend, making jokes, having fun, you know? And then we drive, and I just start telling her about God. Not because I feel I must. Because I love her. And because I loved her the whole weekend, we're now so close, I can tell her anything. Because she realized that there's someone that loves her, that she doesn't experience with a boyfriend or in a family or stuff like that. And now she can actually receive. You know, and I sat the other day and I was, Lord, it was a struggle for me because I'm like, I can see that these people need God. What must I do? Like, Holy Spirit, speak through me, you know? All those things, like, what must I do to get this person to realize, like, there's a God who saves, who loves you? What must I do? And God quietly told me, love. Yo, we sometimes want to come with all our stories and tell them all our testimonies. You know? In the meantime, people just get more irritated with us. Yeah. But try and love someone. Really love someone. And see how their hearts change. Because what? All what we need and what we want is love, isn't it? People are longing for love. And without us knowing, we're actually longing for the one who is love. God is love. He's the one that comes and he fills us where we don't even know. He's the one that provides. He's the one that restores. He's the one that heals. Heals. So for us to come to that place where we say, Lord, I want to know you. You know, that realign thing that I was talking about in the beginning. I was like, Lord, how do we get ourselves there? Or how did we get off there? And a great way of getting back on that line in whatever we're doing is to ask ourselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing these things? And for me, you know, doing all these ministries and stuff, was I doing it for God because I love him, because that's the greatest commandment? Or was I doing it for other reasons? And easily we see, oh, I actually just want stuff for myself. It's actually just about me. I forgot that there's a God that said, love me. This is the greatest commandment, Jesus says. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. So guys, as we walk out here, we must be like, okay, Lord, I see I have not been doing this right. But I want to. You know, the Lord doesn't come here today and say, how dare you, you know? Get back into the, this is a kavats, what do you call it? A whip. God doesn't do that. Like this girl that he gave the dream for, I sat there and I was overwhelmed by God's love for her. Because he's calling us back. He gave me a dream. He loves me. He wants us to come back. He wants you and me to come back to be at that place where we know God. And be known by God. I forgot to read this, what do you call it? Quote. I think there's one quote, Cindy. Yes, I know you are all I have, but I don't know you well enough for you to be all that I need. And I didn't add the other one, C.S. Lewis, he says, you know, we can have God in everything, and someone else can have God only. And there's no difference. Let's get to a place where God is all we need. Where we know him as the one that he's the one that we need. The only one that we need. And it's almost like a cry is going out. God is saying, my people, return to me. The other verse says, seek me. Those who seek me and seek me with all their heart will find me. And I end off with this. There's many theologians, there's many people, I have some friends, you know, that spend time with God the whole time. But they struggle. Why? Because we spend time in the Word and so on for us, to get to know us, or for us to receive healing. But God's saying, come to me for me. Just a tip, when we read the Word, I always go, Lord, show me who you are. Who are you? Then I read two scriptures and I'm like, repent, repent, repent. Because where my heart is at. Or pray for that one. Or I start crying because I'm like, oh, I've never seen that. And I've read the scripture 10 times, 100 times. God is calling us to enter in and to come sit at his feet. Sorry, there's lots of things going through my head now. The other thing is, if you're going to start doing it, stuff is going to come in the way. You're going to get busy. You know? Stuff is going to change in your life and you're going to be like, oh, okay, I must do these things for God. And then you're going to start forgetting about filling your lamps. Don't forget about filling your lamps. Also, your friends are going to start being not ugly. What do you say? Nasty. I've seen that in my life. Sorry, guys, I can't go with you. I really have to sit with God. No, man. You must spend time with people also. How are you going to reach the lost? Exactly. I cannot do it. I need to spend time with God. Then I can do it. Don't let people intimidate you and say to you, no, 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 what you're doing. Don't do it. It happens. We're people. Be at that place of humility saying, you know what? I cannot. I need to sit at the place where I fill my lamp. You know, it's amazing. The reason why we can go to that place and sit with God is because of what Jesus has done for us. We read it this week at intercession. Boldly enter in. Hebrews 10. Boldly enter into the courts. You can boldly come because of what Jesus has done for us. You don't have to do any sacrifices. You don't have to do any works. You don't have to do anything. Take off I can and boldly step into his presence. God has made a way for us to come in. Whoa! Good news, as Moana said last week. That is good news. And that's the kind of news that we must hold on to today and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, that I can come to you and sit at your feet and learn about you. Our Almighty God gives me a whole book to know him. A whole book. And then, really, this is the last point. Then we get to a place where we start sitting in his presence. And then we realize, oh, whoa, I actually don't know God at all. I had a friend send me a, I don't know how long, voice note this week. And she prays. This girl prays. She's known by it to say no to people, to spend time with God. You know? She sent me a voice message. She said to me, Marichen, I don't know God. I realized this week. I don't know him. And then, at that place where we realize that we actually don't know, is where God comes. You know, we don't come into a place where we know everything. We come to a place where we're like, I actually don't know, Lord. How many times this week I was like, Lord, how can I know you? How can I know you? I want to know you. Desperate. Hungry. Always hungry for the Lord. For the Lord. And I always want to say, when you're at that place where you don't want to see God, we're not hungry for God, check your heart and realign with Jesus.